So we're in part 11 of the Gospel for Outsiders, and we're going to talk about Simeon and his song that he sings. This man, Simeon, by the way, he wasn't famous. You know, God doesn't use famous people hardly ever. He uses small, little people to do his work. People that are the obscure, the people that you're not looking for is who he uses. Simeon was just a priest that would go to the temple, a godly man that was right with God. Not perfect, but he was right with God. And he was a devout believer that showed up to the temple every day, and people would say, "Hey, what are you doing today, Simeon?" And he goes, "I'm waiting." And they would say, "What are you waiting for?" And he would say, "I'm waiting for the Messiah." You know, he would keep going there every single day because he'd been told by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. So he went back. So here's what I think about. This is what I think about. His wife would say, "Hey, what are you doing today, Simeon?" And he would go, "I'm going to take a road trip." But when he took a road trip, he would be walking. And she goes, "Well, watch out for them criminals, because they might rob and kill you." And he goes, "Oh, don't worry about that. I'm not going to die until I see the Messiah." I mean, what a way to live. He knew that he was not going to die until he seen the Savior of the universe. I mean, I think that's so beautiful. I can just picture that. I can picture me being that person, by the way, saying that to my wife. Saying, "Oh, it's okay. God's not done with me yet." But he had been patiently waiting, and we don't know how long, do we? There's no details. And you know why I know he was a nobody? Because Luke specifically tells you when it's a somebody, he gives you the details of who the somebody was, because that's who Luke was. But he doesn't give you these details. He just says he was a good man, a righteous man, a man that was waiting to see his Messiah, because he was filled. The day it happened, he was filled with the Spirit. And the thing about this is that Luke is using the Spirit a lot in this first chapter, and it was hardly talked about in really the Old Testament. It was there. The Spirit is in the Old Testament, but it's not talked about a lot. Prophecy, every time in the Old Testament, it was when a prophet would prophesy, he was filled with the Spirit. And now it's like we haven't even got through one chapter of the Bible, and it's five times that the Spirit has been involved in people's lives. So, he had been longing for this day. He knew all of the Old Testament to know that all these prophecies, they were coming true. And he'd been longing for this day. So let us start. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And these men," and the other thing is Simeon or Simon, okay, in some, but Simeon was the tribe of Simeon, the second tribe of Israel, was a very, very, very common name. "And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, I don't know when the Holy Spirit came. The Bible's not specific. Whether it was this day, as he's waiting in the temple this day, he's got it. I don't know if he found out last week that this was going to be the week that he was going to be at the temple and find out, or he'd been waiting for years, going to the temple, waiting for this day. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. So when he says into the temple, he would have been in the women's court. Because where would Mary be? She wasn't allowed anywhere past the woman's court. So he would have had to be in that court to see it. And by the way, do you think Jesus was the only baby that had been born 40 days prior to this day? No. There was a bunch of women probably in the court of women that were holding babies. I want to know, because by the way, it's not like Jesus had a halo. I mean, you've seen pictures and statues of Jesus with a halo over his head. And if you haven't, I'm surprised because I have. And they're everywhere. Like, if you go to a Catholic church, I'm just saying, a lot of pictures of Jesus have this halo effect, don't they? Don't they? They have this aura around them of a halo. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus didn't have any special, like, thing. We read Isaiah. Isaiah said you wouldn't have known who he was. Okay? He wasn't this. You wouldn't walk down the street, and that would be kind of strange, wouldn't it? If you're walking down the street and you see this guy walking down the street and he's got this big halo around his head. I mean, that, so he was just a normal baby boy to the eye. He wasn't normal because he was man and God. So he wasn't normal, but for us to look at him, he was normal. He was normal. So when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, by the way, they were to dedicate him, but they didn't have to, didn't have to take him to the temple to dedicate him. That was not what they had to do, but Jesus was special. They knew Jesus was special. Mary and Joseph knew that they were carrying the Son of God. People go, Mary, did you know? Yes, Mary knew who her son was. She knew that Joseph wasn't the father. She knew that God was the father. Now, I'm not sure she knew exactly what was going on. And that when Simon prophesies this, I don't think she fully understood what he was prophesizing when we get to that in a minute. But she knew that he was Jesus, the Savior. Now, she might have thought he was going to save in a different way, because most of the Israelites did. Even Simeon, who was waiting for this might have been looking for a different kind of salvation, but he was anticipating. And by the way, Simeon is a small group of people at this time that were still anticipating the Messiah coming. So they brought him to do according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms. So can you imagine? I can just imagine as Simeon comes up, he is led by the Spirit. You see, this is where we get to the Spirit again. This is how he knew which baby to pick up. He was led by the Spirit and he lifts up the baby. I don't know if he goes up to Mary and says, hey, can I hold your baby? Or if he just walks up to Mary and snatched the baby, I don't know. But you'd go to jail for this today. But then, obviously, Mary had something because the Spirit was filled. Mary was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. They obviously connected somehow. Simeon took the baby in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. I don't know about you, and I didn't do a study on this, but I don't know how many people in the Bible said, okay, it's okay to die now. I can depart now. You can take me now. When can I go, God? That's what he's saying. I've seen salvation. I'm okay now. For my eyes have seen your salvation. I've been longing for this day my whole life. But God, I can die now because I've seen your salvation and I know that you fulfilled your promise. That you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Do you know what's beautiful about that? There's not many, even outside of the Bible, there's nowhere really where Israelite people and the Gentile people are put together as one people. But Simeon, in the temple, is holding baby Jesus and prophesying that revelation is going to come, a light is going to come, not just to the Israelites, but to the Gentiles too. See, the Israelites were waiting for a Savior for them. They would have said, he's going to come, rule on the throne, and we are going to rule the world. That's what they were looking for. The Israelites were looking for a ruler that was going to rule the world. But Simeon here is saying, basically, and I don't even know if Simeon understood this when he was prophesying this. But he was saying, no. This light is going to come to the Gentiles and the Jews. They are one people. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own also. And at this point, he might have been talking just out loud, and Mary and Joseph are standing there, and then I believe there was some eye contact change here at this point, and he looks Mary dead in the eyes, and he says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. You see, I don't know if Simeon knew what he was saying to her and what it meant. I don't think Mary did, though. When he said this, Mary was like, I'm going to think about that. But I do think later on, when she's standing at the foot of the cross and a spear is being pushed into the side of her baby boy, her firstborn child, that she goes, I remember when Simeon told me that I was going to be pierced. My soul was going to be pierced. I don't know about you, and I'm not a mom, but if your baby boy was nailed to a cross, I think your soul would be pierced. I think you would have agony in your soul. And Simeon, baby Jesus, maybe 33 years later, she's remembering this. You know, she probably went about the business after this. But the thing is, Simeon, what did Simeon do? He believed. That's our problem. It's our problem, and I think it's worse today than it's ever been. I think we don't believe. We believe, like we say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he came. But it's easy to say something. It's easy to say something, but to live it, that's something completely different. See, how I know Simeon believed is because he lived it. He showed up the temple every day looking for the promised Messiah. Because that was what God had called him to do. I believe everyone in this room has been called to do something for God. But do you believe that you've been called by God? Do you believe that you have purpose? Not just to come to church on Sunday and listen to somebody ramble. Not to just read your Bible once a week or once a day or whatever, twice a day, three times a day, whatever you do. But to actually do something. To actually do something. Actually believe that you have a purpose. Because I think if more people started living a life that they actually believed, like Simeon believed, I'm not saying the world will get better, because I'm a believer that the world's going to get worse, not better. So I don't think the world's going to get better. I think the Bible specifically tells us that the world is winding down, not winding up. The world is a bad place. It's sinful. Sinful people live in the world. But I'm going to tell you this, and I believe that Paul thought this way, that it doesn't matter what you're going through in this world. That's why when Paul talks about his pain, that he's okay with it because he knows it's limited to this world. And one day it's going to be over. And what did Paul try to do? To tell people about Jesus. That's why I get frustrated when people say, you don't need to tell people about Jesus. You just need to be nice. You just need to do nice things to nice to people, and they will fall over Jesus somehow. But if you don't tell them why you're nice... Because I'm not nice because of me, by the way. I'm not a nice person. I'm nice. And by the way, everything nice I do, I don't even think, because I believe Scripture, that I'm doing it. I actually believe what Scripture says, and I think I am not capable of good works. I believe that God works through me, through the Spirit that is indwelt in me, because I believe that Jesus died for my soul. I believe what I do, when I do it, and I have ultimate motives, it's so I feel better. You know, there's people that will go, you could talk to people, okay, ask them why they serve. And they'll go, it makes, and I don't think they realize they say this. They go, it makes me feel good. Nah. If you are doing stuff for people because it makes you feel good, you're doing it for the wrong reason. We don't serve people. We don't do anything we do if you believe what Scripture says. Because it makes you feel some way. You serve because God served you. I volunteer at Rock House Kids, right? I can't believe when there's like 10,000 churches in Rockford that they cannot have a Thursday night for teenage kids because there's not enough volunteers. Because you know why? Because the volunteers, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. And I don't care where it is. The rescue mission John works at can't get enough volunteers. They want to throw money at it because throwing money at something is easy. You know what I can get more of? Money. You can always make more money, by the way. I don't care if you're retired. You can go back to work and make more money. But guess what you can't make more of? Time. The most valuable thing everyone in this room has is time. We hate to sacrifice our time. We'll give God everything else. But do you think Simeon didn't give up his time? Hey, honey, what are you doing today? Well, I'm going to go to the temple and hang out until they close the doors, and then I'm going to come home. And maybe you've cooked me some, or maybe not, because you're mad at me, because every day I go to the temple and I'm not around because I'm waiting for this Messiah that the Holy Spirit told me was coming. But I'm going to go there every day because I am going to serve God the way God told me to serve. Sitting in a church, and I don't care where you're sitting in a church, by the way, sitting in a church doesn't save you. Coming to church every week does not save you. Believing what Jesus said saves you. I think you should go to church. I think you should be under God's word, but then you should be taking it out. And you should be looking for opportunities to serve God. Like Simeon did. And then, I've only got 2 points today, so it'll be a short sermon. Can you make the same claim that Simeon did? Do you know what claim I'm talking about? When he seen the Messiah. Okay, I do want hands for this. How many people will say they know who Jesus is? Put your hand up. Okay? If you've been saved, if you think you're saved, you know who Jesus is, right? What did Simeon say once he knew who Jesus was? Lord, it's okay for me to go home now. It's okay for me to die now. It's okay. I'm not saying that you're wishing to die. But if you know Jesus, I'm telling you what, if you die, because I know people that go, I don't want to die. I actually want to die one day, any day, whenever he's ready. I live like it's okay for me to die because I know Jesus, okay? I don't want to die, meaning it's not something that I'm going, I want to die today. No, but if God wants to take me home, I'm cool with that. Because I tell you what, as you get older, you should even get more cooler with it. Because the older you get, the more aches and pains you get. Okay? I've known people that, because I'm a hospice chaplain, that have been in severe pain but are afraid to die, yet they say they know Jesus. I don't understand that. How can you know Jesus, okay, and believe what the Bible says, okay, if you believe this book? I'm not even saying if it's true or not. I believe that it's true, but I'm saying if you tell me you believe this book is true, at that point, if you're dying, if you're in that end of your life, if I'm laying on a bed, I'm going to die like my dad said. I'm ready to go home. When are you coming, Jesus, to take me home? Because I'm ready. I want to be home with you because guess what? I won't have all these aches and pains anymore. I'll have a new body. That's what Simeon was saying. Simeon, one day, I'm going to ask Simeon when I get to heaven, after I get to meet Jesus and everything cools down you know, because I'm going to fall flat on my face when I meet Jesus and tell him I'm not worthy, because I believe that's what will happen, because I'm not, right? And I'm not going to give a crap about anybody else that's in heaven. Like, I'm not going to be there when I'm on my deathbed. Oh, I'll get to see my dad again. No, I'm going to say I get to see Jesus. Okay? I'm longing to see Jesus. I know that one day I might see my dad again, but I'm longing to see Jesus. Most people, when they're dying, guess what they say? I'll get to see this person, this person, this person, this person. They never say Jesus. Very few people have ever said to me, when they're dying, I can't wait to die. And they don't have to say it that way. I'm going to get to see Jesus. And they say, my husband, my kids that I've lost, this person, my aunt, my uncle, blah, 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 blah. The person that didn't speak to me ever, that was my relation. They'll say all these people, but no Jesus. I mean, if you went on dying people's requests, Jesus isn't even in heaven. That's sad. Simeon longed to meet God. He was ready, and he is going to be in heaven, even though Jesus was a baby and probably a young boy when Simeon actually did die. Because Simeon was old and he'd been waiting a long time for the Messiah to come. Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross and paid the price for Simeon's sins before Simeon died. But he believed in the Messiah. That's all he had to do. He believed in the Messiah. He believed that the Son of God was going to come and save him and redeem him. And I'm sure he didn't fully understand. By the way, I don't fully understand. I can't tell you how. I have a better understanding than Simeon did because I've got the whole New Testament. But still, I'm going to tell you. I don't fully understand with the scripture because a lot of the scriptures, when it talks about heaven, is symbolism. I mean, because I really don't believe, by the way, there's actual streets of gold. I think that's what it looks like, right? But if there were streets of gold, have you ever put gold down here or something shiny in the sun? And you know how bright Jesus is? That's going to reflect, it's going to blind you. You know, I think it was the fact that to John, that was the most valuable thing he could think of to explain heaven. Because, by the way, he didn't have the words to explain heaven. There is no words to explain heaven. Heaven is going to be like the best thing you can think of. What's your favorite thing? I want you to picture your thing. You don't have to yell out, but picture your favorite thing, okay? Magnetize what that makes you feel like, whether it's ice cream, a good ribeye, whatever it is, you put it in there. A good Broadway show, I don't care. Whatever it is, you put your favorite thing that exists in earth, okay? As you know it now. Magnify that by a trillion, and you're still not even going to know what heaven's going to be like. I read a book when I first came to Christ called Slumber of Christianity, and it was by Ted Decker. Ted Decker usually writes kind of horror-ish but novels, but they've got the scary twist, but they're all faith-based, Christian-based, Jesus-based. But he wrote this one book called the Slumber of Christianity. And it was about, and he wrote it because at his church he was looking around and he seen all these people sitting there in their chairs or their pews when they were at church, just sitting there listening to the message. And that's where he got the title, The Slumber of Christianity, because he goes, they don't understand it. They don't have the passion they had when they first met Jesus. Why? Do you know why? Because we don't spend enough time with Jesus. We don't spend enough energy on knowing who he is and what he's really done for us and how much he paid for us. No one in this room has ever been persecuted. See, that's why in countries where Christianity is banned, they have way better faith than we do. They will tell somebody they don't know about Jesus and it could get them killed. We can't even tell somebody at work because we're scared that we might get fired or we might get whatever, or somebody in a grocery line, or somebody that we meet and we do something for them, and you say they thank you, and you say, you know why I can do this for you? Because I believe in a Jesus that came and died for me, and he gave me the greatest gift that you could ever receive. And everything that I have belongs to him. So I can give you, not because I am generous, but because he is generous. They might spit in your face, but it don't matter. Because here's the thing is, it's not up to you to save people. It's up to God to save people. But God leaves you here to tell people about him. I mean, look around. As the pastor of your church, okay, I'm going to tell you, there's tough decisions. There's going to be a meeting here in a few weeks that we're going to have. Your pastor is going to take a pay cut because there isn't enough money to pay him. Okay? Because we're not telling people about Jesus. We just come. And I told you, I would stand up here for free because I know what God's done for me. It means I have to go work somewhere else also, but it's okay. Okay? But there will be an elder board meeting, and then there's going to be after Sunday church. It'll be after the picnic sometimes when Russ gets back at whatever time. We're going to have a meeting because it's got to be a church meeting. And we've got things that we've got to decide. Things that have got to change. And we're not going to do it just the board. We're going to do it as a church. I can tell you, I can do that because I love Jesus and I want to tell people about Jesus. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? I'm just asking you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, when was the last time you said, hey, I want you to come to church with me because I just want you to do this. Actually, if you come to church with me, after church, I'll take you out for lunch. We need to act like people acted back then when they found out about Jesus. I mean, Luke wrote this book and then he wrote Acts. And Acts is just a book about people, but the people just going out and spreading the gospel. That's it. That's what we're called to do. As people, we're called to preach his word, not just me, all of us, to tell people about Jesus. And you know what? People get scared because they say, I can't do that because, and they'll say, I don't know enough. What if they ask me these questions? Say you don't know, but you tell you what, I will find out. I can't answer you right now, but I'm telling you, I'm going to go talk to somebody that knows more than me, and help. Hopefully they can answer the question. But I'm telling you also that nobody has came to Jesus because all their questions were answered. But don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. We need to live like what we believe. And if we don't, nobody else is going to know about Jesus. And that's pretty selfish. I mean, I believe, and this is that we exist as a church. I exist as a person to make much of Jesus. That's what we exist for, to make much of Jesus. You don't have to have money to make much of Jesus. But you do have to sacrifice some time and maybe some of the talents you have. But you do not need money. God provides what God needs to provide for us to do that. And the other thing is, you don't even have to worry about if they accept Christ or not, because it's not up to you. It's up to God. What you do have to worry about if you're selfish and feel so much for yourself that you might lose some friends. Because they might not want to talk to you if you actually started believing what you actually say you believe. They might not want to hang out with you. But guess what? I'll tell you, you've got something in common with the most wonderful person in the whole world, and that is Jesus Christ. Because nobody wanted to hang out with him either. Unless he was giving them something. And that's not what he came for. He didn't come to heal people. That way, he healed people to show who he was. He came to heal their disease. And by the way, how many people, if you had the cure for cancer, would keep it to yourself? Would you keep it to yourself if you had the cure for cancer? I can tell you this, the cure for cancer is nothing. Because if somebody dies and they don't know Jesus, that's an eternity in hell. If they don't know Jesus. I think the cure for that is much more significant than the cure for cancer. And we keep it to ourselves. So on that note, I'm only going to preach on 4 verses next week, and I'm going to talk about Anna. And there's not much there to talk about Anna, but so you can imagine where I'm going to go with this. But I want you to read chapter 2. You could read the whole chapter again. It wouldn't hurt. And we're going to be in chapter 2 for a couple more weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, just so you know, because... We got Jesus. The only story coming up, which is one of my, I can't wait to tell this story, of Jesus going to the temple as a boy. That's the only ever childhood story we got of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. So please read this, and I'm going to pray us out, and then Andrew's going to come up and lead us out. And if you don't, here's the thing is, I want to clarify. Do you know why we play a song at the end? You don't even have to sing at the end. Okay? It's actually a song, okay, that you can just listen to and contemplate the message. That was the original reason when David was here. It was a suggestion that I had because I'd been listening to a church that did this. And it was a time of, and it's never been really said why we do it, but that's what it was for originally. It's a time of contemplation. So you can sit in your chair and just think about the message. You can sing if you want. You can praise God. You can do whatever you, respectfully, whatever you want. But it's a time of reflection and to contemplate what has been said and spoken and to let it impact you and sink in. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are a God that supplies everything that we need, that you are wonderful, mighty counselor, ever-loving God. Thank you for all that you did. I thank you for the way you spoke to Simeon. I pray that you can talk to us the same way. If we don't know our purpose, that you can fill us with that purpose, that we can learn to share your message of love, grace, and mercy to everyone we see. And let you do the saving. Let us just do the talking and telling people about your great love and the best gift that you could ever give, the gift of salvation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.